The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 8th chapter. Jesus' mission includes foreigners, and his authority extends to the casting out of demons. Some who witness Jesus' work are seized and with confusion and fear. But the man who was healed is commissioned to give testimony of God's mercy and power. I begin reading at verse 26. Then Jesus and his disciples arrived at the country of the Gerasenes, which is opposite Galilee. As he stepped out on the land, a man of the city who had demons met him. For a long time he had worn no clothes, and he did not live in a house, but in the tombs. When he saw Jesus, he fell down before him and shouted at the top of his voice, "What have you to do with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I beg you, do not torment me." For Jesus had commanded the unclean spirit to come out of man. For many times it had seized him. He was kept under guard and bound with chains and shackles. But he would break the bonds and be driven by the demon into the wilds. Jesus then asked him, "What is your name?" He said, "Legion," for many demons had entered him. They begged him not to order them to go back into the abyss. Now there on the hillside, a large herd of swine was feeding, and the demons begged Jesus to let them enter these. So he gave them permission. Then the demons came out of the man and entered the swine, and the herd rushed down the steep bank into the lake and was drowned. When the swineherd saw what had happened, they ran off and told it in the city and in the country. Then people came out to see what had happened, and when they came to Jesus, they found the man with whom the demons had gone sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind. And they were afraid. Those who had seen it told them how the one who had been possessed by demons had been healed. Then all the people of the surrounding country of the Gerasenes asked Jesus to leave them, for they were seized with great fear. So he got into the boat and returned. The man from whom the demons had gone begged that he might be with him. But Jesus sent him away, saying, "Return to your home and declare how much God has done for you." So he went away, proclaiming throughout the city how much Jesus had done for him. The Gospel of the Lord. You may be seated. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. A man usually walked home after work each day, and his path would take him through a cemetery. Unknown to the man, they had dug a fresh grave right where he walked, and sure enough, he fell into that grave. And so he tried to crawl out, but the hole was too deep and he couldn't get a handhold or a foothold on the loose dirt on the sides of the grave. So he tried calling for help, but at that time of the evening there was nobody left in the cemetery. And so he thought, well, it's a pleasant evening. Either somebody's going to come by looking for me, or there'll be people here in the cemetery in the morning because other people use that same path. So he just settled down in a corner and dozed off. A couple of hours later, there was a farmer who was out hunting varmints who had been ravaging his cornfield. His path, too, took him right through the same cemetery, and sure enough, he fell into that same hole. He, too, tried to start scratching his way out of the hole. Now, when the farmer fell into the hole, that woke up the first man. And the first man listened to him for a few minutes, fruitlessly trying to get out of the grave. And so he stood up and he put his hand on the shoulder of the farmer. And he says, "You cannot get out of this grave." But the farmer did. Motivation, proper motivation, can do amazing things in your life. It can make you do things that you never thought that you could do in your life. In our gospel lesson, as we look at this lesson for today, I'd like to look at the motivation of the characters here within this lesson. What makes them do what they do? First of all, we look at Jesus. What's his motivation? Jesus' motivation is his mission. That mission, that the purpose why he came down to this earth in the first place. And that was to proclaim the kingdom of God and to save all of humanity. That was his mission. That was his focus. That was his driving force. And that's exactly what Jesus was doing, was proclaiming the kingdom of God and working his way to the salvation of humankind. Now, we back up just a little bit before this story. As we look at this story, Jesus had been out and about in Galilee, in the region of Galilee, proclaiming the kingdom of God. He was teaching and preaching. He was healing people. He raised them from the dead. He had compassion on people. He was looking for opportunities so that he could show people that God was alive and well and the kingdom of God was there to touch them. He was looking for opportunities. And his travels there in Galilee, he also went to his hometown of Nazareth. Now, as Mark tells the story, Jesus is rejected in his hometown. And so it's time then to look for opportunities elsewhere. And so he decides to get into a boat and cross over the lake to the Gentile territory. And that's what he did. He took his disciples, they got in a boat, and they crossed over. Well, the next morning when they arrived, an opportunity faced him immediately. Even as he was getting out of the boat, a wild man comes running up to him and asked Jesus, "What do you have to do with us?" The man was possessed by demons. Jesus saw that opportunity. He cast out the demons and he healed the man. For us, a lot of times there are many opportunities here as well. There are people who are hurting. There are people that need help. God calls us into that ministry just as he calls Jesus into the ministry to proclaim the kingdom of God. And those opportunities are there before us too, to proclaim that kingdom of God. Some people need help in different ways. Some people may need physical help. Sometimes people need some financial assistance to be able to make it. Other people need emotional help. Some people may just need somebody to listen to them. Other people are lonely. They may need a friend. Many people just simply need to be prayed for. Those opportunities abound. We too, as Christians, as followers of Christ, look for those opportunities, ways that we can help. And when we do help, when we do minister to people in the name of Christ, we too are proclaiming that the kingdom of God is near, that God is at hand, and that God listens to their pleas, God listens to their cries. God does work through us many times. And that's our motivation as well, too. Okay, we also look at the man possessed by demons. What's his motivation? Obviously, his motivation is that he's possessed by demons. When I did some research on this, a legion refers to, more than likely, or the reference here, what catch people's eyes are, is a Roman legion. And I saw that a legion, a Roman legion, was somewhere between 1,000 and 6,000 soldiers. So this man is possessed by many, many demons. Thousands of demons are within him. I guess my question this morning is how did those demons get there? Did he just wake up one morning and all of a sudden he had thousands of demons within him? Did they just kind of creep in slowly? Did he invite them in? Or did he just allow it to happen? I'm going to speculate just a little bit this morning on maybe what did happen. Maybe this man was just simply tired of his life. He wasn't happy with his life, that he felt like he was bound all the time, and he wanted to be free. Maybe he wanted to be free from his job. Maybe he wanted to be free from all the strictures of society. Maybe he was tired of his family and he wanted to be free from his family. Maybe he was tired of following all the laws. Maybe he even wanted to be free of God. He wanted to be his own person. He wanted to be his own man. He wanted to do whatever he wanted to do whenever he wanted to do it. He wanted freedom, or his idea of what freedom was. Maybe that's when the demon started to creep into his life. Maybe that's when the demons came in. And in a sense, when the demons came in, he did have freedom. Think about it for a minute. No shackles could hold him. No chains could bind him any longer. Guards could not keep him. He was free from any responsibility with families. He didn't have to have a job. He was free from following any laws. He was free from taking care of any house or home. He was free from any strictures of society. And eventually, society no longer wanted him. But was that freedom? Did that man really experience freedom? And obviously, the answer is no, because he was possessed. He was owned. He was a prisoner of the demons. He could not control his own life any longer. The demons controlled it. And he ran wild. So what's his motivation? His motivation was the demons. We too sometimes are motivated by demons within our lives, I suppose, by things that trouble us. But we need to remember, what do we wish for? What do we hope for? What do we dream for? And sometimes that's somewhat dangerous. If we do not keep God within our lives, we are left unprotected. We are left open, and demons can creep in. God is among us. God is here. And we need to lean on God, and it is only through Christ that we do gain true freedom. We look also at the disciples here in this story and their role in this story. If you notice, there's not a whole lot of mention of the disciples here in this story. There is actually only one mention of the disciples here in this story. And let me back up just a little bit on this one. When Jesus decided to leave Nazareth, to cross the lake and go into the Gentile territory, he and his disciples got into the boat. And that night, there was a great storm that arose on the lake. Jesus was asleep in the boat. The waves kicked up. The wind was blowing and howling. The rain was beating down. Luke says that the disciples were terrified. But Jesus was asleep in the boat. So they woke Jesus up and said, "Save us. We're going to drown. The boat's going to swamp and we're going to turn over and we're going to drown." Jesus wakes up and he calms the storm. And again, Luke says that the disciples are afraid and they're awed. So I'm sure that when they finally came to the shore, there on that foreign shore, I'm sure the disciples were ready to jump out of that boat and kiss the land. But they didn't get a chance to, because as soon as they reached that shore and were trying to climb out of the boat, here comes this crazy man, this wild man. And he had probably had hair that hadn't been cut for years, probably all matted over him. He was covered in filth. His wrists were either bleeding or probably scarred all up from the shackles. He was acting crazy. He smelled like rot and decay from the dead things. He was screaming at Jesus at the top of his lungs, and he was running around naked as a jaybird. There is no other mention of the disciples from that point, other than this opening line. Then Jesus and his disciples arrived at the country of the Gerasenes, which is opposite Galilee. That's the only line. So what happened to the disciples? What happened to them? What's their motivation here in this story? It's fear. They're afraid. They had a terrible experience, or they had an awe-inspiring experience, however you want to look at it, out on the sea the night before. And all of a sudden, the first thing they see this morning is this crazy man coming up to him. And they don't know what to do. They simply freeze out of fear. They're paralyzed. And we don't hear another word from them for the rest of the story. They're paralyzed. Fear can do that to us too. There's many times when we are afraid. Maybe we're afraid for our family. Maybe we're afraid for our own health. Maybe we're afraid to do things that God calls us to do. We're afraid that we're too old, or we're too young, or we don't know enough. We don't have enough wisdom. We're afraid that if I might do it wrong. We're afraid that somebody may laugh at me. Somebody may criticize me. I'm afraid I'll do it wrong, not do it right, and it'll be worse. And so we're paralyzed. We don't do anything. We freeze, and nothing happens. There is no ministry that takes place because we are frozen in fear. When the disciples freeze up here, they don't remember in whose presence they are. That Jesus is right there beside them, right there in the boat with them, and they forget who he is. They forget that he is right there. I think when we freeze up too, we forget that God is right there with us anyway. That God will walk right beside us. That God will carry us through. That God will help us through. God does not call us into anything that we cannot handle. God does not call us into any ministry that we cannot accomplish. God is with us. God is there. Okay, also too in this story are the townspeople or the country people, the local people here on this other side of the lake. What's their motivation in the story? And it's actually mentioned in here a couple of times too. They are afraid. Fear is also their motivation in this story. And I'd probably also add that their motivation is also something holding on to what they have. Their motivation is not to change. All right, so they have fear and not to change. As Jesus came along, he made changes. He made changes. He cast the demons out of this wild man. This wild man had been plaguing this community for a number of years. Jesus made that change. That wild man was no longer a wild man. And they were afraid because they couldn't do it. They couldn't hold the man. They couldn't change the man. They couldn't do anything with him. And he plagued the countryside. But Jesus could do something with him. And when they saw how many demons came out of this man and into the swine, and as the swine ran into the hill and are down the hill and drowned in the lake, they were afraid. Who is this man? Who carries such power to be able to do something like that? And they were afraid. They were afraid for themselves. What's he going to do for us? What's he going to do to our community? We don't want to change. We don't want it any different. We're happy with this wild man, with this crazy man who has plagued our community, whom we tried to lock up. They did not want to change. For us too, a lot of times our motivation is fear, or it's not wanting to change. And as a result, nothing does change, except it always does. Nothing stays constant in our lives. We grow older, accidents happen, the world around us changes, and we have to react differently. But Christ is there with us, willing to minister to us, willing to show us how to do ministry. This man was healed. His motivation, too, was changed. After he was healed, he was inspired. He was motivated to follow Jesus. He was ready to become one of his disciples and follow Jesus wherever Jesus went. And in a way, that is what he did. But Jesus had a different mission for him. Jesus tells him, no, you go back home. You stay here and you tell everyone you meet what has happened to you. And so he becomes a disciple of Jesus right there in his own community, being a witness to what Christ has done for him. We too are called into that ministry. We're called to help other people. But what is our motivation? Is that enough? Does Christ provide enough motivation for us to carry out his mission? And not only Christ, but Christ has sent his Holy Spirit into our lives and has given us the gifts to do what God calls us to do. We are motivated for Christ. Amen. May the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep our hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.